We'll turn in God's Word, please, to the Gospel according to Mark and the chapter 10. We're going to be looking this morning at the opening of the blinded eyes of Bartimaeus. So in the latter part of Mark chapter 10, we read of this beggar by the side of the road. And in Matthew's account of this same miracle, we read of two men who cried out. Some suggest that Timaeus, Bartimaeus' father, was the other man whose eyes was opened, but we cannot know that for certainty. And some suggest then that if Timaeus was an old man, he wasn't physically able to follow after the Lord, and therefore Bartimaeus, as he followed after, he became the well-known one. Certainly it does seem that Bartimaeus was a well-known man in the early church at the time when John Mark was penning these words. We're going to read from the verse 45, Mark 10 and the verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. And when they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, and blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more a great deal, Thy son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Amen. We'll end our reading there, trusting the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious truth. We'll turn again, please, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And with the word of God before us, we'll seek the Lord's face together in prayer. With the Lord's help around his word, let us seek his face then together, please. Our gracious Father, thank Thee today for the wonderful message of the Gospel. Thank Thee for that wonderful invitation, Come unto me, rest. Lord, it is the very desire of our hearts that we would see in these days sinners coming to rest in our Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we pray that we will see those that are burdened down come to find that joy, peace in believing. For those whose eyes have been shut, that their eyes will be opened. O Lord, grant us help as we come to thy word now. Pray for that undertaking of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, do come and minister to each one of our hearts, we do pray. In Christ's great name, do ask it. Amen. Amen. The great miracle of the opening of the blinded eyes of Bartimaeus It's a great illustration of the truthfulness of the words that immediately precede this account. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. Give his life a ransom for many. That day as the Lord passed through Jericho, there were many that were following after him. And yet the Lord was not only interested in the many. The Lord was interested in the individual. The Lord stopped there and he saw sitting by the wayside this man Bartimaeus. The Lord ministered to him. The Lord had that heart of a servant toward him. And it is certainly a wonderful encouragement to God's people today that as we think of the Lord's interest in the multitude, that he is interested in the individual. How does the Lord work? The Lord works by dealing with individual by individual. Now, blind Bartimaeus is a very accurate picture of the one that is lost in his sin. Bartimaeus is blind. Surely we see in that something of the sinner being blind to his great need, the sinner being blind to the glories of our Lord Jesus Christ. He sees no beauty in him, and the sinner then, as a blind man, gropes his way, as it were, trying to make his way through life, but all the time headed for destruction. The sinner is blind. Bartimaeus was also in poverty. He was a beggar. We have the word begging there at the end of verse 46. He sat by the highway side begging. So on account of his blindness, Bartimaeus was unable to find employment. He could find no way to support himself through working. And in order then that there might be bread on the table, every day he sat there by the wayside begging. That was his daily business. And the sinner is one who is a beggar in God's sight. The sinner has no ability in himself to earn salvation. The sinner has no ability in himself to pay to God that great debt that he owes. The sinner is a beggar. Yet, while that is true, so many do not realize their poverty or their begging. He was blind, he was a beggar. And then he was sitting in the place of the curse. This incident took place on the way out of Jericho. Remember, way back in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel entered into the Promised Land, the first fortified city that was destroyed was the city of Jericho. And as that city was destroyed, there was a curse placed upon it. Joshua said in Joshua 6:26, "Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho." And as Jericho was destroyed then, it ought never to be built again. It was destroyed and it ought to have remained in that state. But in later times, those words were set aside and the city was rebuilt. Do you think of that spiritually speaking then here? Bartimaeus, though sitting in the city of palm trees, he was sitting in the place of the curse. And again we have an accurate picture of the sinner. In his blindness, in his poverty, he sits in that place of the curse. He is condemned before a holy God. And yet by the end of the account, what a wonderful change had taken place. Not only is Bartimaeus enabled to see, Not only was he delivered from that poverty and from that condemnation, but I want you to notice the closing words of verse 52. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He followed Jesus in the way. Now that word follow really ties this particular incident together with all that has gone before in this particular chapter. And I've emphasized before this word follow. If you look at the end of verse 21, the Lord said to the rich young ruler, "Come, take up your cross and follow me." And so the Lord, as he preached to that rich young ruler, he said, "Come, follow me." And at that particular time, at least, he didn't. But Peter then said at the end of verse 28, "We have followed you." So what the rich young ruler didn't do, Peter said, "We have done." Then verse 32, "And then they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed as they followed." And so the disciples and others, they were following after the Lord. And we saw when we looked at that particular portion how the Lord was moving in front of them. And the disciples were following after with somewhat reluctance. But nonetheless, they did follow. And that group then, they have proceeded onward in their journey. They have made it to Jericho. In fact, they are moving out of Jericho now. Still moving onwards towards Jerusalem. The Lord has stopped to minister to Bartimaeus. But as the Lord set off on his journey again, there was added into that number another. Bartimaeus followed Jesus in the way. The Lord said to him, "Go your way. Go your way. Your eyes are opened." But Bartimaeus followed the Lord his way. Well, he followed the Lord in the Lord's path. Perhaps as you sit in the meeting this morning, you would have to confess that you're not following Jesus in the way. You're not following Jesus in the way because you're like blind Bartimaeus. You're sitting there by the side of the road. You're blind. You're in poverty. You're in the place of the curse. And the truth is, you're not following because you cannot. And you need this mighty intervention of God that there might be a great change brought that you might follow. Perhaps there is one, and you profess that your eyes have been opened. And yet, while that is your profession, you sit by the wayside as if you are blind. You sit by the wayside as if you are in poverty, as if you are still in condemnation. Oh, that today that you would rise up, that you would follow. So we're going to look here at a blind beggar now following. I want to say first of all that he was entitled to follow. On account of enlightenment. He was now entitled to follow on account of enlightenment. What I want to emphasize is that Bartimaeus experienced the opening of eyes twice over. Before his actual physical eyes were opened and he had physical sight, Bartimaeus had the eyes of his heart. So there was, yes, a literal physical opening of his eyes. But before that, like Lydia, the eyes of his heart had been opened. Before that coming of Christ to minister to him on that day, I believe that Bartimaeus already had faith in his heart. You look at those words in verse 52. Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And that day Bartimaeus' faith
And I believe even before that time when Bartimaeus' eyes were opened, he had faith.
There had been something most amazing going on in his life. Bartimaeus was enlightened to the person of Jesus Christ. If you look with me at verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me."
Now I want you to picture this scene. Bartimaeus is sitting there by the roadside, and he discerns that there are more people walking past than usual, that there's some unusual event taking place. And so he's asking, who is passing by? What is going on? And the answer comes, it is Jesus of Nazareth. And when he hears that, it's Jesus of Nazareth passing by, he doesn't shout out, "Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me." But he says, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Prince Charles and Camilla are visiting Australia at the minute. Imagine if when Prince Charles is in one of the Australian cities, an individual makes the inquiry, "What is all the fuss about in the street?" And most of us might ask that question anyway, even if we knew that it was Charles there. But the question might come, "What is the fuss in the street?" Imagine if the answer came, "Prince Charles is here." And then an individual would shout out, "Prince of Wales," or shout out, "Oh, tree hugger." The fact that they used a different title shows that they knew something about the man. And that is the case here. He heard Jesus of Nazareth is here, but he cries out, "I know him to be the son of David." His eyes have been opened to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, or to the person of Jesus Christ, that he was the Messiah. And that brings to our attention then that he had heard many stories about Jesus. Though perhaps this man was not far travelled, he had heard a lot. Very often people that are not in employment, they hear a lot of news. And this man sitting then by the side of the road, he knew what was going on through the country. And so he had heard stories about the Lord's ministry. He had heard about the miracles. He had heard about the Lord's teaching. He had heard stories. We also see that he had knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures. For when Bartimaeus heard those stories, he compared those stories with the Old Testament. He compared then what he was hearing with the Old Testament. He then believed this Jesus of Nazareth is actually the Son of David. He's God's Messiah. If you turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 35. And you imagine, out of all the stories that Bartimaeus must have heard, none would have drawn his interest as much as that which would have been spoken to him about the opening of blinded eyes. He obviously had a vested interest in that. Isaiah chapter 35 and the verse 4. "Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." And notice the one that will come is God. God will come and save you. And I'll come back to that in a moment or two. Verse 5. "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened when God shall come. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." If you turn over to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 and the verse 1. "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." So we're reading here about the servant, the Messiah. And in verse 7, the work of the servant is to open the blind eyes. And we know elsewhere in the prophecies then
that this servant is referred to as the son David. This Bartimaeus then heard those stories about the ministry of Jesus of Nazareth, as many referred to him as. Bartimaeus realized this is the one that the prophets have spoken of. This is the one that God has promised will come, the Messiah, the son of David. And so then he cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David." He recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, and he recognized that Jesus was God. That was something so many did not grasp. And yet it was set forth so clearly there in those words we read in Isaiah 35, that God shall come. And Bartimaeus then, he understood why so many did not understand that the Messiah was God manifest in the flesh, that he was Emmanuel. And so then Bartimaeus said at the end of verse 51, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Now that word "Lord" is a word that's only used twice through the New Testament. The other occasion was when Mary Magdalene realized that the one before her was not the gardener, but actually was the Lord. She cried out then, "Rabboni." That's the same word here. Bartimaeus said, "Rabboni, that I might receive my sight." He was acknowledging, "I believe you are God in the flesh. Long that I might receive my sight." Bartimaeus then, he had his eyes open to this, the person of Christ. But I want to say also that his eyes have been open to the pity of Christ. For when Bartimaeus was crying out to the Lord, he didn't ask for money. You think about any other occasion when individuals were walking past, Bartimaeus' cry would have been for help. But here he said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And he cried that out at least twice, verse 47 and verse 48. Surely that must strike us as unusual. Here was a man in need of money, in need of help. And yet what does he cry out? He cries out, "Lord, have mercy on me." Now who do we ever cry to for mercy? We only cry to one for mercy if he has the authority to withhold it. We only cry to one for mercy if he has the authority to withhold it. Now you think of someone crying out to the judge for mercy, or to the police officer for mercy. He recognizes that that individual has no obligation to deal in mercy, and that his duty is to deal in justice. And he cries out then for mercy, knowing that there is a right to withhold it. The sinner then, as he is brought to cry to God for mercy, this is to be his understanding. I recognize that God has the right to withhold mercy. That God has the right to take me and cast me into everlasting destruction. But the God who is entitled to do such, I cry to him for mercy. Through the work of the cross, Bartimaeus therefore, his eyes were open to this, the pity of Christ, that he was undeserving, and yet despite his undeserving, that the Lord dealt mercy. Today, as you sit in the meeting, if you're unsaved, here is good news for you. What you deserve is what I deserve, hell. But God is a God of mercy. He holds back from the sinner what the sinner deserves. Oh, that your eyes would be open to the person of Christ, to the pity of Christ. Bartimaeus' eyes were also opened to the power of Christ. Bartimaeus had every confidence that the Lord would open his eyes. In verse 50, and when the others that had been discouraging him, they said, "Be of comfort, rise, he called thee." In verse 50, "And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And as Bartimaeus then came to his feet and walked towards the Lord, he cast his garment, he cast his cloak aside." Now that cloak was associated with his life as a beggar. The reason why he wore that cloak was because he was a beggar. He recognized that he needed it to keep him warm. He needed it to keep him dry in times of rain. His life as a beggar, it necessitated that garment. You see, when he rose, he cast it aside. In doing that, really, he was saying, "I will not need that garment again. My time as a blind man and my time as a beggar has come to an end." And even before then, his physical eyes were opened. He had every confidence his eyes would be opened. His confidence was in the power of Christ. Therefore the Lord said to him, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath saved thee." And oh, that today that your eyes would be opened to that truth of the power of Jesus Christ. Not only his power to smite, and I long that you would see that first off, that you would then see the mighty power of Christ to save. Even an unworthy, hell-deserving sinner like you, oh, that you would see the person of Christ. He is able to save. He is God's one way of salvation. The pity of Christ. He loves you despite your unworthiness. His power to save. And all of that is demonstrated at the cross. And remember then, and this miracle is really an outworking of those words at the end of verse 45. The Lord would give his life a ransom for many. And in giving his life a ransom, in that work of the cross, Christ has proved his person. That he is God in the flesh. That he came to reconcile men unto God. That he is that one and only mediator between God and man. He demonstrated on Calvary the pity of God. He demonstrated the power of God, the dynamite of God, to save hell-deserving sinners. So thinking of these words, Bartimaeus followed Jesus in the way. He did so because of this enlightenment. His eyes were opened. Now he could follow. But I want to see then, secondly, that he could follow on account of enablement. So there was that entitlement, but there was also enablement. There was enablement because he could now leave the begging. And I mentioned how he left the cloak behind. Bartimaeus then, as he left that cloak behind, he was saying, "No more begging for me. No more blindness for me." And he had never been willing to leave that behind before. But now he was saying, "I have cast it aside. Because now I am enabled to follow. My eyes are opened. I can follow after the Lord." He had no need to live as a beggar. And you think of that morning as Bartimaeus had come and sat at the roadside as he did every other day. Day after day, week after week. His most valued possession must have been that garment. But now he cast what was most valuable aside. And for now he had found something
much greater value. He had found Christ. Or rather, Christ had found him. And he saw Christ. He desired to follow after him. He did not long to sit and live like a beggar any longer. Perhaps there is one in the meeting this morning, and you've professed Christ as yours, and yet you live like you still are a beggar. You take the devil's entertainment as your entertainment. The world has your heart. Your mind is filled with the filth of this world, not the purity of Christ and his word. And though you profess one thing, you live as another. Oh, today that you would cast that cloak aside. That you would see that when the Lord saves, he enables to follow. And that you would then follow wholeheartedly after the Lord. There was this enablement on account of being able to leave the begging, but there was also the enablement in being able to see. In verse 52, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed. See, beforehand, he couldn't have followed after the Lord because he couldn't see where he was going. But now he was able to follow because his eyes were opened and he could look ahead and he could see Christ. And he had this earnest intent: I will fix my eyes on him and I will follow. You think of Bartimaeus as he came toward the Lord there. The Lord said to him, "What is it that you desire?" Bartimaeus said, "That I might have my sight." And his eyes were opened. What was it that Bartimaeus saw first of all? He saw the face of Christ. When he saw the face of Christ, his life was changed forever. He never wanted to lose sight of Christ. And so he said, "I will follow the Lord in the way." And oh, that would be our testimony today, that our eyes having been opened to the beauty of Jesus Christ, that we would never lose sight of him. That we would never be in bypath meadow. That we would never be in beggar place again. But that we would be following after, keeping our eyes firmly in Christ as he followed. Surely he had to recognize that he followed in a way of suffering. Christ was making his way to Calvary. But he was following in a way of triumph. After the cross would come the resurrection. After the cross would come the ascension. And yes, then to tread this road, it would be a road of suffering, but also be a road of great triumph. Oh, today, will you follow after Christ? Often when I come to these words, I'm struck by those words in verse 46. They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, this was the last time that the Lord would walk this road. Bartimaeus was ever to have his eyes opened. This was his last opportunity. The Lord would not pass this way again. The Lord was making his way to Jerusalem to be put to death. Maybe there's one in the meeting this morning, and many a time you have sat in the place as the Lord has been passing by. Many a time you've been in a meeting like this, and the Lord has been speaking to you. The Lord has been showing you your needs. But you've gone away, still a blind man, still a beggar. What if this was to be your last opportunity?
What if you were never to be in the place
the Lord would pass by again? What a tragedy
that you would go out into everlasting destruction. Oh, today, would you not heed that invitation of Christ? Come to me. Leave the place of begging. Leave the place of poverty. Leave the place of blindness and come to Jesus Christ. See Him. See His beauty. See His love. Hear His welcome. Oh, today come. Receive it. Trust the Lord will take His word and bless it to all of our hearts.